This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show with Jason Hartman. You're about to learn a new slant on investing, some exciting techniques, and fresh new approaches to the world's most historically proven asset class that will enable you to create more wealth and freedom than you ever thought possible. Jason is a genuine self-made multimillionaire who's actually been there and done it. He's a successful investor, lender, developer, and entrepreneur who's owned properties in 11 states, had hundreds of tenants and been involved in thousands of real estate transactions. This program will help you follow in Jason's footsteps on the road to your financial independence day. You really can do it. And now, here's your host, Jason Hartman, with the complete solution for real estate investors.
Welcome, investors from around the world, 164 countries worldwide. This is Jason Hartman, your host, here with episode number 932. Thank you so much for joining me. And I am not talking to you today from the floor of the Grand Canyon, as I was yesterday, in a possible world's first podcast from the floor of the Grand Canyon. So that was kind of interesting to do that yesterday. Today we have part two of our deep look into the new law of the land, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. So it's going to be, I think, very good. Now, I got to tell you something. I have noticed a little, maybe this is a micro trend. I'm not sure, listeners. I'm not sure. Tell me what you think, and you're going to have the chance to tell me what you think again at our upcoming Meet the Masters event in 2 weeks. Well, by the time you hear this, less than 2 weeks. It's coming up quick. So if you are in the Northeast or in any cold environment, hey, what a great time to get to Southern California and enjoy beautiful La Jolla in January. Come join us. We are totally sold out of elite access tickets. We do have some limited number of VIP tickets available, and we have general admission tickets available as well, but they are selling quick. This event may actually sell out. I'm excited. I didn't think it would, because we've got a much, much larger room this time, the biggest room we've ever had. So, I'm trying to make sure that we have what I call luxury seating. In other words, where people aren't too crammed in. I want you to be comfortable, because we've got three important days of learning coming up. And by the way, we've added even more speakers. Yes, the folks from Cozy will be back. They were here 2 years ago at Meet the Masters to talk about easy rent collection. And now, easy insurance. They've got some new stuff they've added to their list of features, so that's going to be good. We've also got Darren Bloomquist coming back. We didn't have room for a lot of these speakers to speak individually because of time limitations and time constraints, so we are setting up some panels of brainiacs to share with you all of the latest and greatest. So we're going to do several panel discussions at this event, and I'm really excited about those. But here's the Jason,
you're on a tangent again, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Sorry. I'll get back to the point. Can you tell I just had a big cup of coffee? Yes, I did. Okay, so I have noticed this micro trend amongst my Austrian School of Economics libertarian friends. You know, I think they just want to hate Trump. I think they just want to whine. I think they're getting a little whiny, some of these people, because they seem anti-tax plan. It's the law of the land, the new tax plan. I have predicted many times that as much as I think Trump is a buffoon, this is going to be great for the economy. Like, great, 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 okay? But, you know, I interviewed Danielle DiMartino Booth yesterday, and she was complaining about it. Well, I don't know. Maybe I perceived that wrong. We'll see. We'll ask Danielle at the event. But it seemed that she didn't like the plan very much. And I was honestly kind of surprised. Now, here is the thing, folks. Maybe Ron Paul, who of course is speaking at Meet the Masters, maybe Danielle DiMartino Booth, who is speaking at Meet the Masters, and all of our other distinguished people and all of the other leading libertarian thinkers who like freedom, who like small government, sound money, and sensible economic policies. I love all those people, right? Maybe they are just forgetting to ask themselves Jason Hartman's magic question. And what do you say is Jason Hartman's magic question? Well, he has several of them, but this is the one to which I am referring. My mom will appreciate my good grammar, won't she? Okay, so the one to which I am referring is this. When you think of the tax plan and you think of all the things you don't like about it, what is the magic question you should be asking yourself?
Compared to what? Compared to what?
What we had before? This is much better than what we had before, okay? I mean, it's hard to argue with that. Now, I know what you're saying. All of my friends and former neighbors in places like the Socialist Republic of California, where I live for the vast majority of my life, and honestly, sometimes I still wish I could afford to live there. But the problem is, I can't afford to live there because I am too successful. Yes, that is the new thing. This is the new trend. You might be too successful to live in a place like California or New York or Taxachusetts or Connecticut or any of these high government, high tax, high expensive places, right?
One of the things people really need to ask themselves if they are upset with the Tax Reform Act, if they're upset with it because of the loss of deductibility of some of their own state taxes, whether they be property taxes or income taxes, with that $10,000 limit, what they need to ask themselves is, why isn't their state more competitive? And maybe, just maybe, this new tax plan will force those states that are charging their citizens far too much money. Maybe it will force them to be more competitive. We shall see. If people start leaving high tax jurisdictions like California or New York, for example, then those states will be pressured as they should be. They will be pressured by the market. They will be pressured by people voting with their feet to possibly and hopefully lower their tax burdens. That's the way it should be. This federal plan should make those states think about being more competitive, and hopefully they will act quickly.
You have to think about getting out, right? And I hope you are thinking about that. Maybe it's not something that can happen this year or next year. Maybe it can't even happen within your five-year plan. Maybe this is a decade away. Hey, so what? A decade will pass, and before you know it, in the blink of your eye, in, as my ex-girlfriend Hillary used to say, two shakes of a lamb's tail, cute expression, huh? In two shakes of a lamb's tail, 10 years will pass. And you know what? Just start thinking about it. Start asking yourself the question, how would this be possible? And I bet answers will start to come to you, right? You may be thinking, well, I'm never going to move. It's impossible. But you got to set up your life so you lower your tax bill. It's really important because it is found money that drops right to the bottom line that you can use to invest. Okay? So here's something that a lot of people in places like California or any high tax, whether it be income or property tax. Now, technically in California, in most places, the property tax rate.
Thank you, Howard Jarvis and Prop 13 in, what, 1978?
Thank you for keeping the tax rate so low in California. And your host, yours truly, has said many times that he believes that part of the reason real estate values have been allowed to climb as much as they have over the decades, I'm not talking about any recent market condition, just over the decades, in places like California, well, California specifically, is because of Prop 13. If you didn't have Howard Jarvis back in the day and Proposition 13 that made it very, very difficult to massively increase property taxes in places like frickin' New Jersey, obnoxious New Jersey, boo on New Jersey, right? There's no way the prices would have escalated the way they did. But they were able to do that because of market forces and having relatively, as a tax rate, as a percentage of the price, a reasonable tax rate in California for property taxes. But, of course, they figured out ways around that with special bond assessments, one of those being, hey, a lot of you folks live in Orange County, my former hometown, for many, many years. In fact, all of my adult life in 2011 was Orange County, the OC, Orange County. They got around it with what? Things like Mello-Roos assessments, where they could more than double. Well, it wasn't just Mello-Roos, it was sort of, they piled it on, right, with a bunch of different assessments and things like that, that they could increase the property tax rate. So, here is what's happening, and this is an action step that you've only got a couple more days to take, and you might want to take this one. I am not giving you tax advice here because it may not work, but I can tell you a lot of people are doing it because I'm listening to the news. What are they doing, you ask? Yes, here's what they are doing. They are prepaying their property taxes. This is a personal residence issue I'm talking about. They are prepaying them before the end of the year, and they are prepaying their state income taxes because, as I understand it, don't quote me, I'm not an accountant, okay? Get advice from a good tax professional, like the one we're about to have on the show here, part two of Ryan Shellhouse, who will talk about this and other things. And you, hey, you can reach out to him, and you will meet him at Meet the Masters in less than 2 weeks in La Jolla. So make sure you're joining us there, jasonhartman.com/masters. They're prepaying these taxes. Now, if they have an escrow or impound account on their mortgage, they are even sending, shoveling piles of money at the lender saying, look, please accept my money this year so I can deduct it because next year, damn Trump, that rotten Donald Trump and those Republicans, I can't deduct it. Okay? Yeah. Now, this might work. Okay? And the little game they're playing is they'll either leave the money in the escrow account with the lender. So, you know, disgusting, scummy Ocwen. Can you tell I'm not a fan of Ocwen? Yeah, they service tons of loans. Many of you listening, I'm sure, have disgusting, scummy Ocwen servicing your loan. Hey, but listen, I'm not really picking on Ocwen, am I? Because I think everybody's disgusting. I mean, I pick on everybody. I pick on Merrill Lynch. I pick on Goldman Sachs. I pick on the government. I pick on every lender. I pick on property managers. I'm an equal opportunity insulter, okay? Yes, I have definitely offended everybody by now. Sorry. Okay, anyway. So, you know, they are shoveling money at their lender and saying, put it in the escrow account. I'm going to deduct it this year, and, you know, next year you can give me some of it back when you notice there's a big fat overage in the escrow account, and you can refund it, or, hey, just keep it and pay the taxes down in the future, because I want the deduction this year. It's like Wimpy from Popeye, the cartoon. Remember, he taught me all about inflation. Well, this is another concept like that, as we talk about the time value of money, or the time value of whether you're receiving or giving, right? And, you know, are you going to receive a tax deduction? A tax deduction today is like a dollar saved, right? Versus in the future, it's number one, speculative, but number two, it isn't as meaningful. Because what did Wimpy say? He said, I will gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today, right? And, or I think it was a cheeseburger. I think Wimpy actually liked the cheeseburgers. I will gladly pay you Tuesday for a cheeseburger today, right? Maybe it was a hamburger. I don't know. Maybe cheese, no cheese. I'm not sure. Anyway, Jason, you really shouldn't drink a big cup of coffee right before you do a podcast. You're just way too hyper. You're going to annoy people. Okay. Anyway, talking to myself. You know, someone asked me one day, do you talk to your dog? And I said, well, of course I talk to my dog. Doesn't everybody? And then they said, in what language? Well, English. What other language would I talk to my dog in? Strange. Anyway, so this is something people are doing to save on taxes this year. It'll probably work. I kind of think it'll work. So something you may want to avail yourself of. You've only got a couple of days. You better do it quick. That is one thing to consider. Now, we have got so much stuff to talk about in terms of current events, and we don't have time to talk about them today, but suffice it to say, retail sales for the holiday season, oh my God, they were phenomenal. The strongest retail season in many years, up 4.9% last year. And that is the biggest jump since 2011. Now, here is the interesting distinction about hearing about the biggest jump since 2011. Well, remember what I've talked about when it comes to the business cycle and Danielle DiMartino Booth, who I think we'll air that interview with her on Monday. Of course, she's a returning guest, but I want you to hear from her before Meet the Masters, because your questions when you meet her in person will be maybe better tailored when you hear this interview. And I think she needs to say, compared to what? So I'm going to ask her that when we do the Q&A at Meet the Masters. She talks about the business cycle in this upcoming interview, and I've given my thoughts on this many times, but 2011 retail sales jump. I mean, compared to what is the question, right? Well, we were coming off the worst economy in seven decades. So to see a jump is really no big deal when you're coming off such a low. And that's why I don't think it's fair to discuss the business cycle in the context of saying, well, you know, things have been on an upswing since 2009 or 10. It's now 2017, and it's going to be 2018 momentarily. And how long can this continue? Well, compared to what? Compared to what? That's not an accurate comparison. I think you need to slide the cursor up a little bit, or the needle, or whatever you want to call it, you need to slide it over a little bit, and you need to slide it up to about 2012. And you need to sort of call that the start. Because when you call that the start, it's more in line with, it doesn't weigh as much into this historical anomaly called the Great Recession, the worst economy in seven decades. All right? That's just reasonable. Compared to what? You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't make that assumption or even consider that if you didn't ask yourself the magic question. Compared to what? Compared to what? That is always the magic question, well, at least for this concept. So anyway, without further ado, let's get to our guest. Be sure to enter our little raffle at jasonhartman.com/contest to win two free general admission tickets for Meet the Masters. And if you want to make sure you're going, go to jasonhartman.com/masters and buy your tickets. And if you didn't already buy them, you can buy them there. If you already purchased them, you can upgrade. You can only upgrade one level now because the elite level is totally sold out, but VIP tickets are still available. That gives you access to the green room and the speakers and the photo ops with the speakers. And we're working on getting a swanky cappuccino machine in there. It's going to be kind of snooty in the green room, you know? So join us for that. It's the first time we ever had a green room. I'm pretty excited about it. I wonder where the green room got its name. I got to look that up. That would be interesting to know. Okay, jasonhartman.com/contest. Enter the contest right away. And jasonhartman.com/masters to buy your tickets. If you bought tickets and you win the contest, we'll just refund your money. Hey, pretty simple. Okay, let's get to part two of an in-depth first look at the biggest tax reform in three decades since the late, great Ronald Reagan, the Gipper. Okay, here we go. Any other big chunks?
There are a couple more big chunks, okay. Though this won't be super applicable to the people you see here, but just for, you know, everyone's knowledge. Interest expense is being limited to 30% of EBITDA, earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, amortization, for companies that have more than $25 million in revenue, with the exception of real estate companies. So It's meant to prevent companies from being over-levered.
Is that discouraging a lot of debt in your company? Is that what that's doing?
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
That's right. For larger companies, 25 right. million and above.
Yeah, got it. Okay.
In top-line revenue. What are some of the other good ones here? So one of the things that the people always love is to talk about depreciation. So we're back into a world, we had this for a few years, and then it went away for a few years, but we're back into the world where qualified tangible property that you use in your business can now be written off 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as you buy it, you can write off the entire value of that particular piece of property. Lots of exceptions, lots of things that you got to work through. The key part, all the times in the past, Jason, that we've had that, what we call bonus depreciation,
mm-hmm.
it's always had to be brand new equipment. What's really awesome about this particular part of the tax bill is that it does not have to be brand new. What this means for a lot of folks that might be listening is run, don't walk to when you buy a piece of property now, you definitely should be taking a look and see. I know I just paid $120,000 for the single family home. I got a lot of assets that are bundled together that I bought for $120,000. And if you have a CPA or other qualified person divvy out for you that $120,000 into the different buckets of right. assets that you actually got with
for,
that.
For cost segregation, right?
Cost segregation,
yeah,
exactly.
Right.
But why that matters now more than ever before is because this provision here allows you to fully write off property, even if it's not new. So when you do cost seg before, it was, you know, there was kind of a fun little benefit because some of the stuff would depreciate at 5 years
or 7 years. Yeah, right. Or 15 years.
Right.
Yeah.
A little faster than yeah. the house. But right. now, any of that 5, 7, and 15-year property, we get to fully deduct the day we buy it.
Okay, so I've got good news for everybody listening. I just did a show with a company that is now doing cost segregation studies on single-family homes. In the past, this was mostly reserved for, you know, larger commercial properties, apartments, etc. Because, I mean, you could always do it with your single-family homes or your small duplex, fourplex things. But, it kind of didn't make, it sort of wasn't worth the hassle, if you will, right? And the expense of going through the cost seg study. But this company does it for a much lower price. Because they have, I'll let him speak, but I can listen to that on another episode. I just did the interview a few days ago, but basically it's an IRS-approved computer model that does it. So they can do the cost seg study really inexpensively, and you can get the accelerated depreciation on the various pieces of that, the components of that property that can depreciate at a faster rate. But here's my question, and this is what everybody's asking, and Ryan, I have a feeling you're going to be the Grinch on this one. Well, you're just the messenger, but I have a feeling you're going to tell us there's nothing in it for people who own properties currently, like the properties they already own. Do they get to take advantage of this, or is it only on new purchases?
I'm going to be a semi-Grinch. So the way the bill is worded, first of all, before I get to answer that question, there's going to be a lot of technology out there that's going to help with cost seg. I mean, stuff we're looking into for our firm as well. You know, just a very cost-effective way to only do single-family homes with, you know, the IRS's blessing, because I think this is going to be huge for some people. To answer your question, Jason, is that it's any property placed in service, that's the key, placed in service after September 27th of this past year, 2017.
So if you bought it and turned it into a rental property after September 27th, seriously, that specific?
Yes. Yeah, it is that specific.
Leave it to the government.
There must have been something that happened that day, yeah. some type of announcement or something. But yeah, September 27th, 2017. So if you made a purchase of a property in the fourth quarter of 2017, you're in luck. Merry Christmas.
But if you bought it 3 years ago, you don't get this.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah,
bummer. Okay. Well, now you got to do 1031 exchanges on all your properties and then buy new ones. So there you go. That'll be good for my business. What about 1031 exchanges? Anything there? You can't do it. I know what you're going to say. You can't do it on cattle anymore, right?
It's limited only to real estate.
That's fine with us.
I think and this is actually a revenue raiser.
Right.
So Congress noticed that it was being used in ways that aren't appreciating. So now it's 1031 is limited to real estate only.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's fine with us. Okay. What else should we do?
A couple other things as we kind of get down to some of the smaller items here. The Section 179 deduction is expanded, so you can write off more property. Now, that's not as helpful in light of the accelerated bonus depreciation that I just spoke of. But there are some properties that can be expensed under 179 that maybe wouldn't have qualified for bonus. So that's good.
Okay, well, nobody necessarily knows what 179 is, so you got to explain that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. That's what everyone used to use for accelerated depreciation
Okay. Before
we had this thing called bonus depreciation. So Section 179 depreciation basically allows you to expense the entire purchase of certain types of property, typically tangible property that you use in your business if you're a small business.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of moving down the list here, so entertainment is no longer deductible. So entertainment used to be lumped with meals. And because Congress figured that everybody was abusing that anyway, they just said, if you've got meals and entertainment expenses in your business, it's only 50% deductible for what you actually paid for it. Now they're taking entertainment out. So if you were counting on your lawyer or accountant taking you to a basketball game or something,
not anymore.
This Christmas vacation, I'd try and get that done before the end of the year.
Cause yeah.
They may be less interested in doing it after that.
Right. Wow, that's sort of a big one. You know, that's going to affect people that sell tickets to high-end events and season ticket holders and all that kind of stuff, isn't it? Because the deductibility is going away on that stuff, huh?
I think that is going to be one of the implications here.
That's sort of a big deal, actually. You know, that's going to affect a lot of things. It's not meals, though. It's just entertainment. Is that what you said?
Just entertainment. That's
okay.
Right.
So you can feed your clients and your vendors can feed you and take a deduction, but it's only 50%, I assume, right?
Yes, it's still only 50%.
Right. But if they want to take you to the ball game or the concert, that's not going to be deductible, huh?
That's correct. That's correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. That's significant.
Maybe this is just interesting to, you know, a very limited number of people. There's an expansion of the rules of the people that can use simplified accounting methods. So for some people, your business got so big, you had to use the accrual method, which just added a lot of complexity at tax time. So the number of people that can continue to use the cash method is going to go way up based on those limits. A couple other smaller things here, they got rid of the tax deduction for most commuting fringe benefits. So if maybe part of your commute or parking was being subsidized by your employer, that's going to be no longer deductible to them. The corporate AMT, they got rid of that. It's probably not ultimately super applicable here. The moving deduction and moving reimbursements, those are both gone from the tax code.
Whoa, that's kind of a big deal. I mean, I can't tell you when I was a traditional real estate agent how many times I worked with relocation companies. And if you want to move an employee or you are an employee and your company wants to move you from, you know, Seattle to Dallas or whatever, that deduction is gone for that expensive move?
No, so the company will still be able to deduct what they paid to move you out there,
okay.
But you as the employee will have to include it as income now. Used to be that company got to deduct it and you got to exclude it.
Ooh.
You know, so it kind of was the best of both worlds.
Okay.
So now the company will get to deduct that moving expense that they paid on your behalf.
It's like they're going to
1099. You as an employee will have to pick it up.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. That's kind of significant. Yeah. Okay.
One of the things that, although it's a very small revenue raiser in the bill that was politically charged as the carried interest.
Yes, yes, the hedge funds. Yes, talk about the hedge fund, greedy hedge fund guys. Yeah.
But what I think we'll actually start to see the kind of the trickle effect or the unintended consequences that, you know, for syndicators of real estate deals and stuff like that, that maybe had something similar to carried interest in the LLCs that they're putting together, they're going to have these same restrictions, and which is really that they can't treat the gains coming from their interest in the hedge fund or real estate fund as being long-term capital gains until they've held that interest for 3 years instead of just the 1 year.
Well, that didn't happen though. They didn't change it, or it's this same.
No,
as
no, they did.
Okay. So basically the effect there, which is interesting, is it sounds like it's encouraging hedge funds to hold assets longer. Is that true? Did I get that right?
Right. Or just not allow them to get long-term capital gains for something that they only held for a year.
Right. So
just,
it's discouraging.
You know, either hold it for a little while longer.
It's discouraging one-year trades, essentially.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
The 1 year and 1 day trade within a hedge fund that if they do it within 1 year and 1 day, all of the investors, they get long-term capital gains treatment, just not the managers who have their carried interest.
Okay.
Under old law, alimony used to be deductible. the spouse that paid alimony got a deduction, and the receiving spouse had to include that in income. Now the law flips that so that alimony and other spousal maintenance payments are non-deductible to the payor, but they're also not includable for the person receiving it. So it is much better for the person that's receiving the spousal payments than under old law.
Yeah, got it. Okay.
Let me just throw one more thing in here for 529 plans. Those are the education plans that are on a tax-deferred basis. Now you can take up to $10,000 out of your 529 for private school. So that's kind of a big deal for some people in certain areas that you'll be able to pay for private school with tax-deferred money. But there's a couple other things in here. And if your listeners are interested, I'd encourage them to contact their CPA.
Yep.
Just before we wrap up, Jason, let me just kind of run through some things that people thought might have changed, but in the end did not change, just so that we kind of cover those off. So there's still a big tax credit for electric vehicles. All the existing credits and deductions for higher education remain the same. Student loan interest remains deductible. Educator expenses, those were on the chopping block, but they remain deductible in the bill. Some people were talking about changing the requirements to have your home gain excluded from income, which would have made it harder for you to claim an exclusion of income from the gain on the sale of your primary home.
Right.
Did not make it into the bill.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I know a lot of my clients were concerned about is one of the bills that was originally passed required you to, when you sold securities that you had a lot of, you had to use first in, first out.
Mm-hmm. FIFO, I remember that.
But that failed to use any of the permissible methods. First in, first out, LIFO, average cost basis, or specific identification. So lots in here, Jason, and thanks for having me. I encourage people to chat with their
Absolutely.
Tax advisor. They're always free to look us up and give us a ring as well. We're happy to chat with people about how it might affect them.
Ryan, I just, first of all, I want to thank you for coming on so quickly. Folks, let me tell you, very few CPAs are studied up on this enough and ready to talk about it so quickly. I mean, this is hot off the presses here, okay? So this interview was pretty casual. I'm so happy that Ryan will be speaking at our upcoming Meet the Masters of Income Property event in San Diego in La Jolla. You'll be able to meet him there in person. He'll be speaking and sharing some of his thoughts after he's had a little time to have these coalesce and target them specifically as strategies for real estate investors mainly. So that'll be the major thrust of his talk. So I'm really looking forward to that, Ryan. But, thank you for coming on so soon. I mean, this thing is just hot off the presses. I'm sure you're sleepy because you've been reading all this stuff and studying it. And you've been on every call, inside your industry doing it. Give out your website and tell people where they can find you.
Yeah, www.indigospire.com. And it's mostly indigospire.com because shell house is really hard to spell.
Absolutely.
Yeah, check us out at www.indigospire.com. You can make appointments to chat with us straight on that website.
Fantastic. Ryan Shellhouse, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jason. Have a great day.
Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, hartmanmedia.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guest opinions are their own, and if you require specific legal or tax advice or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.
Welcome to Meet the Masters of Income Property Investing. I'm your host, Jason Hartman.
Join us in beautiful La Jolla, California on January 12th through 15th. This is your chance to meet the masters of income property investing. Learn from an amazing collection of experts all in one room. You'll meet a ton of local market specialists, mortgage lenders, tax professionals, and investment specialists such as Jeff Myers of Myers Research and John Burns, real estate consultant. Learn from Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad Advisors, Ken McElroy, his real estate investment expert, and Garrett Sutton, his attorney who specializes in asset protection. Find out what leading economists are predicting for 2018, including Danielle DiMartino Booth, founder of Money Strong LLC, and Andrew Zatlin from Moneyball Economics. Hear from leading entrepreneurs how to maximize your income streams. You'll learn unique financial strategies from Patrick Donahoe of Paradigm Life, and how to give birth to a brand from Brian Smith, founder of UGG Australia Brand. This year also features a very special guest, Dr. Ron Paul, former congressman, presidential candidate, and staunch advocate of liberty. Right now, you can upgrade your ticket to include VIP access and a dinner with Dr. Paul. Enjoy a fine dining experience and fascinating conversation. Seats are limited, so upgrade your ticket today. Ask questions and learn why real estate is the most historically proven asset class. Armed with new information, you'll have the confidence to take massive action. As the saying goes, don't wait to buy real estate and wait. Surround yourself with like-minded people and build friendships that will last a lifetime. Share strategies and tips with other investors and hear about their successes and struggles. Make 2018 the year you decide to achieve your dreams. Real estate is a proven way to create true wealth within your lifetime and achieve long-term financial independence. Don't wait. Join us in La Jolla. Reserve your seat today.